In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The scripture reading for this day upon which the homily is based is from the Revelation of St. John, chapter 3, beginning at the 14th verse. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. I could wish that you were hot or cold. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, 'I am rich and have become wealthy and have need nothing,' and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, that I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Here ends the reading. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Today's text is the last of the letters that Jesus writes in the Revelation to his seven churches in Asia. And as that was the topic of our Lenten series, it did not seem good for us to leave it at six. Six is not a good number in the church or in the Bible. It begs for a seven. And so these words of our risen Lord to the church of the Laodiceans was chosen for our text today. And it's really quite a good Easter text. It says, did you hear what Jesus called himself? He called himself the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And Jesus is certainly that. When God looked upon the fate of our people plagued by illness, sadness, sin, and death, the Father said to the Son, "Look at what these people have done to themselves. They cannot save themselves. They can't get themselves out of their predicament. We must have a plan." And Jesus said, "Amen." He agreed. He, in the love of the Father, came to be our Savior. He calls himself the faithful and true witness, and indeed he is. As God continued to promise to send a Savior in the Old Testament, Jesus not only faithfully stuck to the words of those prophets and said the same words as they did and affirmed them as a faithful believer, but he enfleshed all of those words of the prophets and lived and fulfilled each of those words, even to the point of putting on human flesh and becoming obedient unto death, even the death on the cross, in order to be our Savior. And if he calls himself the beginning of the creation of God, it's certainly true, as John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and that Word became flesh in Christ." But if he is the beginning of the creation, he's also the beginning of the new creation, the church of God, the redemption of God, the gathering of sinners into the presence of Jesus in order to make them holy and saints, so that they would not be sinful forever, so that they would not dread death forever, but in the promise and in the work of the Messiah, they might be prepared for heaven. They might be cleansed by the washing of water and the word, by the power of Jesus and his death and resurrection. And someday, and this is what we are all looking forward to, there will be a great resurrection day in which not only Jesus, the firstborn of the dead, but all of your loved ones that are now resting in the earth and my loved ones, by God's grace, will rise again. And if they have died in faith, they will be with Jesus in happiness forever. He is risen, and it means everything to us. But we heard some disparagement also in this letter. He calls them lukewarm. He says they are neither hot nor cold. And so there is a warning to the church in the Laodiceans and also to us. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ and Easter is in the interest of faith. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, he would have purchased salvation for everyone on Good Friday, but nobody would have believed it. They would not have known that he conquered it, but he rose again so that he could proclaim peace to us and peace in the church. You see, it has everything to do with faith. And we must be concerned about our faith. If we have not faith in our lives, we will not have Christ in our lives here. If we are indifferent to Christ in our life here, will he not be indifferent to us on that last day of judgment? And so he's saying, Easter is a time for faith, and maybe today is a day for revitalization of faith. Where we have been lukewarm, where we have been indifferent to our Savior Jesus, it is an opportunity for us today to shake the rust off, to get rid of the barnacles, to be inflamed again as we hear of our Savior's great love for us, that we might receive the gift of his love. And if we receive it, it's a blazing love. How can it not be ablaze in us if we truly receive this great love that Jesus has come to give to us and to all the world? And so it is my prayer for myself and for each and every one of us that we might not be lukewarm, but we might hear the warning of Jesus to shake out of the lukewarmness, to repent, and to receive the gold that he wants to give us. And who could be indifferent about receiving a gift of gold, heavenly gold, from Jesus? Jesus calls himself in this text the true witness, and certainly he proved it. He foretold and witnessed to the plan of salvation, and we heard it all together this week during the Lord's Passion, as we heard of his betrayal on Maundy Thursday and suffering and death on Good Friday. Jesus predicted and foretold that he would be forsaken by his disciples, that he would be betrayed and turned over by the leaders of his people to the Roman authorities, that he would be scourged and spit upon and tortured, and that he would die on the cross and would rise again from the dead on the third day. And guess what? He did. Now, if someone can say, I'm going to die and rise again, is there any greater proof that we need that he's God? Anyone that says that is a fool. But if he does it, he's no fool at all. He's God. And that means because of the resurrection, Jesus' words are precious to us. Whatever he says to us, God is speaking to us. And that's good as gold, because heaven and earth will pass away. But Jesus says, my word will never pass away. It is noble. If you possess, if you have, if you hoard, if you treasure, if you keep unto yourself, Jesus' words in this life, it's the only thing you can take into the life to come. Everything else will pass away, but the gold of Jesus' word will be yours. But here's the problem. He says to his ancient church, I know your works. You are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. This is surely a persistent problem even among those that call Jesus their Savior, both in that day and in our day. Christ has love for all of us, and he spent his whole life to prove that love and to pour out that love for us in his mission as our Savior. Christ was so zealous to save us human beings that he left his glory, his comforts up in heaven, where he was worshiped by the angels, and took on the form of a servant. And instead of being the rule giver and the boss, he became the servant of all, and came submissive to God's plan of salvation, even to death, the death on the cross. Now, do you believe that? Think of what he did for you. Who else has ever done anything like that for you? Who has ever paid that kind of price for you? And why? Because he loves you. That's why he did it. We'd hardly suffer for people that we love. Now think of what Jesus did for you. He was so on fire with love for you. And yet people are lukewarm to that. They go, oh yeah, Jesus died on the cross. Oh, okay. How can we be lukewarm about that? Many people are not so cold towards Jesus that they would cut themselves off from him completely. But when you see what he's worth to them, he's really not much worth to them. They wouldn't lift a finger for Jesus. I mean, they know they died on the cross, but they wouldn't serve him, let alone sacrifice any bodily comfort or time or serious thought or service for him who gave his life for them. And why is it? Now, this is important because this is Jesus' diagnostic of the problem. The doctor's going to tell us patients what's wrong. Here's what he says. Because you say, and we all say it, hey, I'm rich, I've become wealthy, and I need nothing. And do not know, Jesus says, that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. What is he saying? He's saying our life is composed of the comforts of our body. If we're comfortable and we're not having a cold or illness, we're perfectly happy. If we have a job and are able to have gainful employment so that we can have a roof over our head and food on the table, we're happy. If we have loved ones and a family that are fairly reasonable people and aren't a bunch of maniacs making our life crazy, we're fairly happy. And what am I saying about that? That we think only about the things of this life. And that's dangerous. It's short-sighted. Do you realize our life only lasts 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, and then there's Judgment Day, and then there's eternity? Jesus wants you to consider that. Are you going to stand before God dressed in a royal robe on Judgment Day so that he says to you, come on into heaven? Or will you have spoiled your baptismal robe? Will you have been baptized in the font of the church and received Christ as your robe of righteousness and then spent your whole life getting the robe dirty, pursuing all the pleasures and the things of this world, never washing your robes in the blood of the Lamb, never confessing your sins which will keep you out of heaven and that you continue to do, never coming and having the robe washed time and time and time again? I know you don't do that with your clothes and with your body. Every one of you takes a shower every day. Why? Because you don't want to stink when you go to work. You don't want people to be offended by you. The Christian must have this concern. My sin stinks. If I stand before God with that sin and that dirt upon my robe, God is going to hold his nose and say, whew. But God's provided an answer for it. He says to us, buy what is gold from me. And that's an astounding thing. Gold refined in the fire. What is he talking about? He's talking about himself. He's the gold that is refined in the fire. He wore our sins on the cross, and God rained down his wrath. You didn't see the fire, but Jesus felt it. It was hellfire. And he bore it until it was all burned away, and Jesus is purged from our sins. Now, this is the same Jesus that puts his robe of righteousness on us in our baptisms. That's very easy. We were babies. We didn't do anything to get that. It was such an easy thing. And then we were fed with God's pure word, and that word is gold. We learned the law, the Ten Commandments that tell us how we get our robes dirty and how we sin. And we learned about the absolution and the gospel that God gives us in our church. Why? So that we would spend our lives getting ready to be with our bridegroom, because the church is the bride and Jesus is the groom. We're getting ready for a great wedding day. And if we go to that altar with stinking wedding gowns, they're not even going to let us in. That's why he's valuable to us. Without him, we are naked. Without him, we are dirty. Without his grace, our sins have no answer. Wake up. Stop being lukewarm. Stop saying, I need nothing from Jesus because I'm well fed and my body feels good. Look at your spiritual condition. You need Jesus, please. You need him. He loved you. He loved you enough to give you this gold that he distributes in the word and the sacraments of the church so that you are ready to be with him. And that's a wonderful thing. It says in this text that Jesus is knocking at the door, and the question is, will you let him in? When we have faith by the power of the Holy Spirit, everyone says, yes, I long to have Jesus in my heart. Yes, I know my heart is black with sin, but Jesus is the light who will enlighten and make every little corner bright because of his presence. When we come to faith, we know that our heart is sinful. And if Jesus comes into our heart, when he knocks and he comes in by the power of the Holy Spirit, that though our sins would be crimson, they shall be as white as snow. But we get complacent. He's still knocking at the door. Our hearts still need him, and our hearts compete to push him out the door. And it's the cares and the worries and the pleasures of this world that want to crowd him out. And so every week and every day he knocks at the door. I think of my wife every day. I think how much I love her. I think of my children every day, even the boy that's in the Air Force and is in Texas now. I think of him every day because I love him and he's important to us. Jesus is the same way, but he's important to us for something special. He is our Savior, and he alone is our Savior. And he's knocking on the door every week. Every time you are in bed on Sunday and you hear the church bells ring, Jesus is knocking at the door. Jesus is saying, do you still love me? Do you still need me? Do you still want me to wash you clean of all your sins? Am I still your beloved husband-to-be who will be with you in heaven? Do you still have time? Do you still have energy? Do you still have love and zeal for me? Every time the church bell rings, Christ is knocking on the door of our hearts. Oh, don't we want to be saved? Oh, don't we want the precious treasure that Jesus has to give us in his grace and in his word and sacraments? Oh, do we not want the lukewarmness, the rust, to be peeled off of our faith? Jesus is rebuking us in love. And that love will take away that lukewarmness because it's the love of Jesus. And it burns hot. It burns eternal. It burns for you. May we all look into our hearts and find the ways in which we have been indifferent to Jesus and his word and sacrament. May we all commit ourselves at this time by the power of the Holy Spirit that we might not be lukewarm, that we might beg the Lord for forgiveness, that we have repaid his kindness so poorly, and receive his forgiveness and the warmth of his love again. May this Easter be a time for your faith to burn all the more brightly because Jesus lives and he lives for you. Amen. And may the peace that gives that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.